ברוכים הבאים למועדון המתעשרים החדשים, והיום פרק קצר עם אורחת מיוחדת, תמר אשתי. מקרה שקרה כך קרה, בהפתעת לוז קלאסית בחמישי שעבר, תמר מפתיעה אותי עם יום כיף מבוקר עד לילה. איכשהו הקיום של היום הזה כלל לא הופיע בשום מקום, והייתי צריך לבטל מעכשיו לעכשיו הקלטת פרק חדש לפודקאסט. חשבתי מה לעשות, איך להפוך את המשבר להזדמנות. אז הרהרתי עם עצמי ואמרתי, אולי נקליט פרק זריז עם תמר. שתספר לך איך זה לחיות עם וולר גרסת הבית. ואולי גם נדבר על ההתקדמות המועצת שלה בהייטק. ואולי גם על השאפתנות והאמביציה והתמדה ולגדל משפחה בכל המדנס הזה. והרי גם תמר חלק ממועדון המתעשרים החדשים. קודם כל חצי ממשה שלי, שלה. ודבר שני, בונה לעצמה קריירה יפהפייה בעולם המובייל. ביוניקורן הישראלי שנקרא אפס פלייר. אז, what the heck, בוא ננסה. הצלחתי למכור את הרעיון בעורמה ותכסיסים, ומוקדם מדי ביום שישי בבוקר, הערתי את אשתי האהובה, הבאתי להפוך רותח שהיא אוהבת מלמטה, חיברתי מהר את הציוד ולחצתי ריקורד. תבלה, מועדון המתעשרים החדשים, יוצאים לדרך. אהלן, וולקאם לפודקאסט מועדון המתעשרים החדשים. יחד אנחנו מרימים את הסטנדרט כל יום ויוצאים לתקוף כיזמים של תוצאות, לא תירוצים. אני עידן וולר, מייסד מועדון ה-100K, ובפודקאסט הזה אנחנו מגרדים את הבולשיט ורואים ביחד איך גם האדם הבינוני והרגיל להחריד שמתחיל מכלום פונה לעצמו או לכל החיים דרך פשיטה על חנות הממתקים הגדולה בעולם, עולם היזמות, הביזנס והשקעות. וכל זה בכנות קיצונית, בפוקוס חסר רחמים ובחירה אחת ויחידה. תירוצים או תוצאות. יאללה, מתחילים. תמר פולק, ולר, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm good. Let's begin. How is it to live with a fucking crazy entrepreneur?
Wow. I think it's not about entrepreneurship. I think it's mainly how it is to live with you.
Okay.
I know a lot of people actually around me sometimes make comments like, how do you keep up? Like, what's going on? Why is he traveling this much? Why is he building a sauna on the balcony without really discussing it? Why are you, you know, keeping up with his weird things?
Obsessions.
And also, if I talk about the last 13 years, you really changed from like a guy that I got a dog for so he would leave the house, because otherwise he would sit in his small room translating on his laptop, like you know, in his own world, to someone who became very outspoken. First of all, I think you really found yourself and your true meaning of life in a way. And I also think you have more of a persona. So how is it to live with you? Challenging at times.
Okay, what's the most challenging? Let's make this really interesting. What's your biggest difficulty with me?
I think when you know, we started the whole lockdown and we needed to be home, I realized that a lot of times within our how we set up our framework at home is that a lot of times I would go with friends. I would, you know, I wouldn't be at home a lot, to be honest.
Yeah, I know.
And I felt at the beginning like suddenly I had to depend on you. Like you were the only person that I could talk to. And that was difficult at times because we didn't do that a lot. Like we have very much, I would say, independent lives. I mean, you do you, I do me. And you know, in the middle we meet here and there, and sometimes we forget to talk. And I think in the last year, it really put an, I would say, like, emphasis on it, right? That's the case, that we didn't have that togetherness or like a system together. I know a lot of times we talked about little things before with Gina, for example, like dinners.
Just, let's make a clarification. Gina is our therapist, and we found out that by scheduling appointments with a therapist about what, once a month on average?
Yeah, I would love it more, but yes.
Yeah, משהו כזה. Even when things are not burning in the house, then it really, really, really helps us see each other and connect and
sometimes take off some steam.
This is the mechanism, take off some steam, because if we learned the difficult way that if you wait for the steam to build up, right, too much, then it's much more difficult to create that change, that to find that connection again. You become resentful toward each other and whatnot. And we experienced that, for sure. But by meeting up with her once a month as a system for our couplehood, as working on our couplehood, as investing in our couplehood, I think it contributed us, I think, and for me, for sure, a lot, you know?
I remember that I suggested going to Gina in the first place, and it took so much effort to get you there because you weren't so open-minded. And now it's always interesting for me to see the shift, right? Because a lot of times you have like the tendency to act like it was your initiative, if you know what I mean. And then my ego starts to play up as well because I'm like, wait a second, this is great that you feel that you have, you know, you're taking all the credits here. But that's not how it happened in my mind, at least, right?
Yeah, well, Gina, for sure, was your idea, and you pushed us there. And I'm really glad you did. Like, a lot of other things you pushed us in our life. For example, the Yom Kef yesterday. We had tremendous fun yesterday. And we are good together when we're abroad. It's always working really, really good.
You don't have the day-to-day... yeah, distractions, interruptions.
Yeah, of course, but
challenges.
I think that I heard from my friends, yeah, that they can't stand their wife abroad because they're with her all the time. Not all of them, some of them.
I think that's an issue.
That's an issue. Of course there's an issue. There's always an issue in every couplehood, I think. A lot of issues, actually. So I guess some couples find the day-to-day more challenging and some couples find the... very in each other's butts time more challenging. I don't know, maybe, but with us it's always working when we're abroad, also with the kids and especially alone.
Yeah, but I think it has to do with focus, right? Because you dedicate time to each other. I think we shouldn't just need abroad or a Yom Kef to do that. We should try to build, how you would like to call it, a system to, you know, create that togetherness on a weekly, even daily basis.
Cool. So, after all the difficulties, is there something good and positive about living with me?
Well, let me first say that the first time I saw you, I was like, this is never going to happen.
and this is a testament for the power of copywriting in achieving whatever you want in life. People
True.
Think it's only business and money and building stuff, and you know, but also I got you through copywriting, right?
I actually remember clearly you wrote a letter to my sister. I don't know, it warmed me up in a way. I felt seen.
Yeah.
But then obviously you went back to Israel. And then you wrote emails for months until we met the next time.
You also wrote emails. It's not like
obviously
it was
I wrote
one-sided.
Emails back, but it wasn't really my initiative. I'm
no.
sure it would have died there.
Of course.
I mean, I wasn't really
interested. I told you many times. The first time I saw you, I still remember the picture in my mind. At first,
the
I
arrogance.
Admit. Yes, yes, I admit. It wasn't about... I'm going to marry you. This will be the woman of my life. No, I was 24. I'm going to get you. The tool to do that, to get a beautiful woman who is taller than me, who is Dutch.
Don't say that.
You're taller than me. That's true. That's fine.
Depends which shoes we're wearing.
It doesn't depend which shoes we wear, which is fine. And I remember I was so intimidated by the guys you were hanging with. I remember we hung together in Amsterdam. And then suddenly we saw your friends. And they were all like, the shortest of them was 1.90 meters, okay? And he was the shortest, kiddo. And the tallest was 2.10 or something like that. All with blonde hair, blue eyes. And then I told myself, man, you've got yourself quite a challenge here.
It was funny to see you because you were like all dressed up with like, you know, hand gloves, still shaking. And I just realized this is not going to work.
It was -1.
It's not that cold.
For me it was. So you moved to Israel. You did Aliyah.
Well, I remember clearly that, you know, you left in London. That was pretty dramatic, I would say. Then after a few weeks, I went back to Amsterdam. And then I remember that you said, I would really love you to come. I need you. And I told myself a few times, wow, like, I'm getting into something difficult here. Like, this is not light and fun.
You were right.
Perspectives. I think, actually, when I started studying at the IDC, there were a few books that I got. A, you were first doing the translation work. Okay, maybe I should start off with saying you're always, you've been a bookworm for as long as I know you. So that you really can credit yourself for. But there were a few books that I got that God. You got your hands on.
One of them.
Yes.
Yes. Dr. Cialdini.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I remember
that. I discovered it through you. I saw it on the bed. I read the back cover and I said, okay, Tamar, what is this book? Oh, it's mine. I studied for... No. It's mine now. Okay, Persuasion.
And I remember I read the book and then afterwards at some point you mentioned stuff about the book and you really started to dig into the book and like... Yeah. Make other examples that, you know, weren't really written in the book based on the principles and whatever. It's the fact that people trust you.
They need to dig in deep within their fucking soul and find meaning and find toughness and find connection, yeah? And find extreme honesty about who they are, what they're afraid of, what motivates them and stuff like that.
You have a lot of discipline. Like, we joke about it a lot because, you know, you have your obsessions and then you go like 100% into eating broccoli. You never did work in a company, actually.
No.
But you have this tendency to really be against the regular workforce, you know, like not being an entrepreneur, not taking that step.
I had it before, yet your company... And your progression in your company that you started as what? As a junior CSM, customer success manager, and now you're the queen of the Nordics of the company. And watching this company grow and you grow within this company from the side, it really built my appreciation for you as a person who also progresses, who also grows. Very quickly, becomes high level very quickly, learn stuff very quickly, become obsessed with your own shit very quickly, and become very good at it and very caring about it. But also a company. And there, I think this was also a great window for me for the technology industry. Because I saw from the side, when you joined your company, Apps Flyer, by the way, how many people were you? 400?
No, 140.
140, and now you're 1600, right?
No, I think 1200.
1200, Peter, it's still kilo insane. In my world, to successfully integrate a new employee or team member into the business is like a serious mission.
It's a different skill.
Definitely. It's a different scale, but that's what the technology allows you. This different scale, this progress. This speed of progression, this speed of growth, of doing new stuff, exciting stuff, of rewarding your team in a nice way, like they flown you abroad like I don't remember how many times, and they send you nice packages home and all of this. So this opened my mind, so I gotta credit you for showing me this world through your progression in the company and your work.
Thank you for that. You don't say that often.
נכון. That's what this episode is for. To praise you, my dear beautiful wife.
Oh God. It's your discipline, it's your craziness that brought you where you are. But I think a lot of the dots that you connect are also through my world.
I'm sure it is.
And on the other end, I respect you for always being so positive. I remember when we drove back from the Shiva and all the madness there, that you already started talking about what it gave you and how the fact that people helped to search and, you know, the dog unit that you got to know and like special people that you didn't have a connection with, how they touched you and how you felt that if he would have just passed, you wouldn't have had that. I think that's also why you touch people, right? Because you have this very positive mindset. And unless you're very tired in the evening, not so positive. But I respect you a lot for that, that you have a lot of discipline and that you're very, very solution oriented.
Yeah.
I would say. Whenever you did have failure, you got up pretty quickly.
And any last advice for very ambitious women who wants to advance in their career, and it doesn't matter if they're employees or entrepreneurs or whatever?
I think a lot of times with women in general, if we're generalizing here anyway today, is that they feel they're maybe not worthy enough, or, you know, they don't deserve it, or they're not smart enough, or they're not, you know, powerful enough.
Mm-hmm.
I think the difference that already starts literally with job interviews, right? Is that it's important that you express where you see yourself going. You can't just expect other people to lay the road for you, right?
Yeah, you need to demand.
It's not just demanding. It's also like having a bit of a, maybe a plan or a vision
of where
for yourself,
of where
you see
where
yourself grow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And make sure that you're setting a goal for yourself.
Okay, so we'll finish with that. How was it for you?
Better than expected.
Okay, guys. נתראה בפרק הבא של מועדון המתעשרים החדשים. יאללה, ביי. תודה שהזמתם לפרק של היום, מקווה שלקחתם לפחות דבר אחד ליישם, להעלות את הסטנדרט ולצאת לתקוף. מחכה שניפגש שוב בפרק הבא, ואם אתה רוצה עוד או את רוצה עוד, ממליץ לשים יד על הספר החדש שלי, ואני בכלל לא משוחד כי זה ספר מעולה והוא מקבל ריביוז פצצה. מועדון ה-100K, כל עוד הוא במבצע. עכשיו הספר בחינם, רציני, כל מה שאתם צריכים לעשות זה לשלם, משלוח בלבד, הוא כבר נגיע לדורסטפ שלכם, לפתח הבית. פשוט תכתבו ספר ה-100K בגוגל ותזמינו לעצמכם עותק מודפס במתנה עליי. צאו לתקוף ונתראה בפרק הבא.